Today's episode is brought to you by Taft Law and its Franchise Advance Program, a one-of-a-kind program developed by your host, Josh Brown, to help entrepreneurs assess, convert, and grow your business the right way through sound franchise structures. To learn more, go to taftlaw.com and type Franchise Advance Program in the search bar.
If you think like, act like, or are trying to grow like a franchise, then the Franchise Euphoria podcast is for you. Hello and welcome, everybody. Josh Brown here, and I created this podcast for one main goal: to help people who are trying to grow their business through franchising or franchise-like structures to do it the right way. I've been practicing law now as a franchise lawyer for many, many years, and I've seen it done the right way and the wrong way. And this podcast is not filled with a bunch of legal mumbo jumbo. Rather, I talk with real people, people who have been there, have done it, are doing it right now. And I also dive deep into specific topics related to franchising. So if this is of interest to you, you are at the right place. Enjoy. Welcome to Franchise Euphoria. Thrilled today to have April Porter on the show. April, how are you?
Fantastic. How are you?
Good, good. I wanted to do a little bit of a unique intro here today because I love your background. I mean, you're a lawyer, you're a multi-unit franchisee, you're an attorney, you have this great franchisee mentorship program. You've got a great podcast called The Infinite Franchisee. You're kind of doing a lot of things. And I just wanted to have just kind of a candid conversation with you about all that and about how you're helping the franchisee community.
Yeah, I mean, that's my passion. So let's do it.
So let's start real quick. What kind of law did you practice before you stopped actively practicing?
Well, I was a criminal prosecutor for 10 years, and my specialty was to prosecute crimes that were sexual assaults, child abuse, and homicides. And when I left that to open my franchise locations, I actually transitioned into a municipal judgeship. So I served as a criminal judge then for 7 years in the evenings while I grew my franchise locations.
So what got you interested in that? I mean, I'm a lawyer as well, franchise lawyer, of course. And obviously, you know, getting into franchise businesses is very different from a criminal practice and also being on the bench as well. So what kind of got you interested?
In the criminal law?
No, in franchising.
In franchising. So I had always had an entrepreneurial spirit, like I think most franchisees. I had spent a lot of time doing little side gigs, right? I was a competitive dancer growing up, so I taught dance in the evenings, and then that transitioned into teaching fitness. And just here and there, I've never been one to be content with just one job. So when I decided to transition out of law, it was one, because once you're a criminal prosecutor, the thought of sitting behind a desk to review contracts is just like mind-numbingly boring. So I knew that I didn't want to do that. And I started looking around, and I had some friends who'd opened a kickboxing gym across the state where I grew up in Kansas City. And it just looked like an awesome concept. And I was like, man, if that was a gym here, I'd be a member. I loved it. And then I looked into what it would cost, what the investment would be to own one. And it was surprisingly within our budget. And I had to convince my non-entrepreneurial minded husband that we should go for it. And that's what we did.
How'd that conversation go?
I was very nervous because he's very practical and not at all. He really enjoys, you know, going to work in the morning, getting a paycheck, leaving, and not having to think about his job at all when he's not at it. And that's never been me. I think he just realized that I'm always going to be working. I mean, I doubt that I will ever actually retire 100%. It's just who I am. I love having my hands in things. And we talked about having more time freedom, you know, being able to control our income a little bit more. And ultimately, he said, well, you know, if it totally fails, it isn't going to, you know, devastate us. So, okay, let's do it.
And do you still own those locations?
No, I actually was able to sell all of them in 2020 after we had reopened after a 3-month, you know, mandatory shutdown.
And so is that when you started doing more of the, I guess what I would call consulting and all that in terms of and mentoring with franchisees?
Well, actually, I started that in 2016 because I grew to 4 locations in less than 3 years. We were named one of St. Louis's 50 fastest growing companies 3 years in a row. And my fellow franchisees started reaching out to me. Like, I was getting 5-7 calls a week, people saying, I don't get it. We're running the exact same model, but your experience looks completely different than mine. What are you doing differently? And so I was taking so many calls that I was, you know, I'm like, I can't take 7 hours of calls a week and run my business. So I started doing some group workshops at that time so that I could help all those people, but be more efficient about it. And then once we sold our locations, I rebranded into Ask April Porter, and I launched it as an online group mentorship offering.
So what's your secret sauce, April?
You know, I really identified what I call the franchise gap. And I think that there's a miscommunication when people buy a franchise, and it's coming from a lot of different places. No one's particularly to blame. It's just the nature of the industry. So when a franchisee is going through the sales process, they're hearing things like business in a box and, you know, proven model. And they're making this assumption, oh, the franchisor is going to provide everything I need to be successful. And the franchisor or the franchise consultant, the salesperson, is telling the franchisee, we're going to provide everything you need to be successful. We have the paint my numbers proven model. And nobody's stopping to really ask the important questions. One question is, well, what is the franchisee's definition of success? And is that the same as the franchisor's definition of success? Many times they're not the same. Number two is what do you particularly franchisee number 1, 2, 3, what do you need to be successful? And many times what franchisees need to be successful, one, half the time they don't even know what they need, but two, generally they need to learn how to be a business owner. But most franchisees are looking at buying businesses that fall within their expertise. For example, if you're a retired teacher, you might be looking at a tutoring business. You buy the tutoring business, the franchisor teaches you everything about how to tutor according to their model. But the teacher really already knows how to tutor kids. They may not know how to do it by, you know, the franchisor's brand standards, but they know how to tutor kids. What they don't know how to do is grow a business. And when they are responsible for growing a business, what happens is they tend to default back into what they know and what they're comfortable with, which is tutoring. And so they don't end up growing the business. And then they're working more hours than they did as a teacher. They're making less money than they did as a teacher. And they're like, what in the world? I thought that, you know, things would be different. And they don't know how to identify what's off about the situation.
I feel like there's a real lack. I mean, I've been in the franchise world for about 18 years approaching. And I see this all the time with franchisees. And, you know, when I started my practice years and years ago, all I did was work with franchisees. Now I work with both. And I enjoy that perspective from both sides on the franchisor franchisee side. But one of the things I routinely run into, I'm sure you do as well, is franchisors do a particularly good job of selling their systems, oftentimes through different broker networks, or just they have people on their team that, you know, people see a concept, it's working, they get excited, they franchise it, and then they get other people excited about it. And then franchisees come in so excited, so anxious, but they don't take the time to really look or do their own real due diligence on the business model itself and how that's going to work. You know, it's like, just because you like the product of a franchise doesn't mean you're going to like the business model of the franchise. And there's so many questions that franchisees, I just realized they don't ask. It's all part of the sales process, which at times can be really kind of pushy on the franchisor side of things. And I'm always amazed, April, I don't know if you are, at how willing some of these people are to spend the hundreds of thousands of dollars up front. And they really don't know that much about the systems.
Yes, but to be fair to them, they've never vetted a business model before or business offering, and they don't know what they don't know. They don't know what due diligence really should look like and how to go about doing that. And the people who are supposed to help them, you know, have to tread a fine line, even franchise consultants, because you have to leave it up to them, right? It has to be their decision and their choice. And so there's not a lot of good places for them to really get that candid assistance in this is what good due diligence looks like.
No, I completely agree. And I also feel on the franchisor side, I always tell folks that, you know, really when you're a franchisee, what you need to, if I was to simplify all of it, I would say two key components are you have to know the value the franchisor is going to provide to you at the outset, and you have to know the value the franchisor is going to provide to you a year down the road. And what I mean by that is, you know, at the outset, it's pretty obvious, right? You're coming into a business that ideally, if it's a good or decent franchisor system, they actually have a system, they have a model, they have something that's been proven, you know, over time, over a number of locations. And so there's that value there. But what I find is franchisees a year after, year and a half, at some point, they understand the model. They know how to run the business. And they inevitably ask, what have you done for me lately? In other words, what's the ongoing value that is going to substantiate you charging me these royalties and other fees? And franchisors really need to take the time to figure that out, or they're going to end up with a problem with their franchise system.
100%. In fact, I remember very specifically that moment in my franchise. We were 3 months in, and I had mastered everything the franchisor had to teach me about the systems. It was time for me to start bringing on employees. And I remember standing in my gyms. I had never had to post a job description before. I never had to interview someone and evaluate if they were going to be a good fit or onboard them and what policies and procedures and things that I need to put in place. Luckily, I'm an attorney, so I know how to do the research and figure those things out. But I thought to myself, not only do I not have the answers to those questions, but I don't have any way to train and manage and develop my employees. And I signed an agreement, or I actually signed three agreements right out of the gate. So I was thinking, I can't be in three places at once. And part of our success is really the personality and the culture that I personally have brought in the first 3 months. How am I going to get that duplicated through these high school kids that I'm going to hire to work here? And so that was ultimately the kind of the catalyst for me beginning to create what I call now an ownership cloning system, which ended up being the foundation to our success, was like being able to develop our employees rather than just train them on tasks. But I didn't get any of that from my franchisor. And I think that there's a large number of like the very top franchisees, they're doing that. They're figuring out that they need more. They're going out and they're either getting it from a mentor or a coach, or they're, you know, spending their own time, money, and resources to just research it themselves and get it done. And then, of course, you have your franchisees at the bottom who are not successful and are usually just blaming the franchisor instead of looking inside themselves and saying, what do I need to do to be successful? But that middle of the pack, the middle of the pack that makes up the majority of franchisees in the system, what I see happening is that when they don't have those answers, they kind of get paralyzed. They're like, oh, shoot. Well, I guess I'm just supposed to keep doing what I'm doing, and the franchisor will ultimately introduce the next thing to me when it's available. And that's why we have so many people who are just kind of like breaking even and just getting by instead of really thriving in their franchises. And if we would just help them understand, like, look, you've got to bring something to the table. And if what you're bringing right now is coming to work, coming to a job every day and just doing the tasks of employee, then you're going to need to get over some of your limiting beliefs and start to evolve your business mindset so that you understand what it looks like to be an owner and not an employee in the business. And that needs to come from, you know, supplemental to what the franchisor provides.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And, you know, I think in most franchise systems too, you know, part of ultimate success for a franchisee is owning multiple locations. I mean, there are rare franchises where owning one is going to be sufficient. They exist for sure. But usually going in, you know, if a franchisee really wants to try to achieve their objective outside of just buying themselves a job, right? Because most of them don't want to do that. You know, they're going to have a strategy for how they grow within that franchise system. And I think that speaks to your cloning system. What did you ultimately figure out was the best way? Was just having, you know, even if the franchisor had obviously their own, they have their own operations manuals, they have their own systems and standards. Did you end up having to create your own within your own locations to have others? And then how did you manage that?
Oh yeah, we did. I mean, because we were kickboxing gyms, our franchisor had created a certification process, and you could hire an employee and they could become, quote, certified in a matter of maybe four shifts. The ownership cloning system that I created, it took 8 weeks for someone to go all the way through it and really master everything that we taught them. And it seems like overkill. Like, one of the objections when I talk to franchisees about that, they're like, oh my God, 8 weeks, nobody would ever do that. And what we found to be was the opposite. We had employees who had worked at a location of our brand owned by another franchisee, maybe in their college town. And then they came to work for us. And when we put them, even though they'd worked somewhere else before, we put them through our system. And they were always so grateful. And they're like, oh my gosh, like, they did not train me like this at the last place. And this is so amazing. You know, like, they felt so empowered and capable of meeting the expectations. But also, it is a development program. So we were helping develop skills in them that they would be able to then take and use in their careers down the road. Like, I invested in really helping our franchisees perfect their sales skills. And we had many employees who had a conversion rate on gym memberships of 85%. And they were able to go on and get amazing sales jobs after they left our employment, you know, when they graduated college or whatnot. So we would really invest in them and in the skills that they wanted to develop, which created very loyal employees. In fact, our retention rate was more than four times higher than the industry average, but then also gave us such high quality that our customers would say, you know, it's like we're getting the same experience regardless of who's training us, which is what we wanted.
Well, and really, I mean, everything you're talking about is really what it's about to be a business owner with a right. business owner mindset. And at the end of the day, as a franchisee, you got to go in there and you got to think, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this business work. I'm going to rely on the support that I get from the franchisor, but I'm not going to pretend like they're going to do the work for me or that they're going to make it happen. I mean, there are variables that, you know, are part of any kind of a retail or location-based franchise that, you know, there's only so much you can control, right? A location can be good today, but not good a year from now. Or a competitor can open up across the street, or, you know, there's a whole variety of things that can happen. But as the franchisee, you've got to be able to control what you can control. And part of that is building out a staff and building out a team that allows you to work in the way you want to work within that system. And I don't, there are franchise systems that do that, but I'm sure you've probably seen, maybe you disagree with this, April. I don't think it's the majority of them that go to that extent. I think the majority of them have a, they try to help you with the branding. They try to build out a brand and help with the brand name. I think they try to help initially with the training. And I think they have a system, obviously, you know, for whether, you know, the product or service that they're providing. But I don't see a whole lot of them that excel at management of internal teams.
Correct. And with the joint employer laws, that, you know, franchisors, most of them do, and they should want to stay away from that, just because it's opening them up to so much more liability if they do get involved in it at this day and age.
But it's vital, right? I mean, it's vital to what, you know, you're seeing. It's like, okay, well, you may have success in spite of that, but you're not going to maximize the success of any location unless you have a good team in there to help you do it for most franchise systems.
Oh, 100%. And the other thing that I will say along the same lines is that even the franchisors who are trying to provide like the higher level training and support, the thing that I haven't met a single franchisor that has the bandwidth to really dive into each individual franchisee's kind of self-sabotage tendencies. One of the biggest things that I see that derails franchisees is their lack of understanding and the difference between personal and business finances and their spending habits. And that can tank a franchise faster than anything, but the franchise business coaches can't sit down and say, so let's talk about how your parents spent money and how, you know, what money modeling did you see growing up and how does that influence the way that you deal with money or the limiting beliefs you have around it and the fears you have around money right now? Because all of that's going to play into how they run the finances of their business.
Well, and all of them, I mean, all of them should, I think, have, I always tell folks, you need to have a break-even analysis. You need to work with an accountant of some sort that can plug in. You can plug in conservative figures. You can say, and it's going to be based on, okay, how much money have you taken out in loans? Where are those loans from? What's the payback terms of them? Is, you know, do you have a lease, physical location? I mean, all these kind of expenses, when do they start? And when can you start recognizing some revenue and cash flow coming in? And when can you reasonably anticipate with these parameters of cash flow in and out and other things that may come up, when you can get to that break-even break-even level and beyond to where you can start getting into some positive kind of cash flow. And it's really, really important to do that at the outset because a lot of times they're using and borrowing money to get the thing going. And so you've really got to forecast what that looks like because – you're going to have debt repayments. You're going to have that are going to vary depending on, you know, interest rates, which are high now. You're going to have a lot of different structures that depend on that. And you've got to be able to reasonably assess what that looks like because that is in your control. And that's something that you have to do as a business owner so that if it doesn't go exactly how is planned, that you have numbers and figures and information that you can look at and then reassess as you go.
Right.
Talk to me about, you're continuing obviously to do these kinds of programs. You're working with franchisees. You got a podcast, Infinite Franchisee. How's that going? How's the podcast going?
Oh, I love it. It's so much fun. We talk to all kinds of different people and then, you know, if you listen to it, it's pretty casual. Sometimes I just get on and, I'm just rambling about my thoughts on a particular topic, but people seem to find it helpful. So I'll keep doing it.
Well, that's great. And then you've got a conference coming up, right? In an inaugural conference.
We actually had that in April of 2023 was our first. It's called the SWAG Conference.
Yeah,
SWAG,
how'd it go?
Yeah, it was amazing. So SWAG is a term that we use inside of my company, and it stands for sanity, wealth, and gratitude. And I believe that those are the three components to what every franchisee is actually looking to attain from business ownership, the lifestyle they want to create. And so our conference had elements of each one of those things. And we had like, I mean, at one point I made everybody crying because they were having these like emotional and like.
So who was in attendance? Are these all franchisee owner operators?
Yes, yes. So franchisees and small business owners. We have some non-franchisee small business owners attend, but yeah, it's all, it is advanced business education and development for franchisees.
Well, I love that. Like I said, I mean, I have a, I really love working with franchisees. I love working with franchisors, you know, as well. But I always feel like there's a lack of information. And, you know, obviously the franchise agreements are so favorable to the franchisors that there just needs to be more information out there to help provide some of these folks with support, because they get brought in into that whole sales cycle and fall into it. And the next thing you know, they're operating a business and they have a million questions that they never asked.
Right.
So are you doing it next year, the conference? Yeah.
We're going to be doing it in October of 2024 is our next one. We're very excited about it.
Well, so what do you see as we have the remaining few minutes here? What do you see as the most important issues franchisees are really facing, you know, going forward over the next couple of years? What are you seeing?
Well, I think that the biggest issue continues to be the franchisees' mismanagement of time. Like I said, so many franchisees are taking on the role of an employee within the business that they just constantly feel overwhelmed. And that's going to be particularly problematic over the next couple of years because they really need to be spending some of their time and attention on understanding the shifts that are happening in technology and how to begin integrating that into their businesses, not just so that they can be more efficient, but because they are going to get left behind by their competitors if the franchisor isn't introducing, you know, new technologies into their business. But even if the franchisor is and they're not learning it so that they can fully take advantage of it, then that is going to seriously impact their ability to succeed. So.
Well, and as a, I think technology obviously is playing, it's a huge, huge role. It often is that value added that we talked about earlier, which is the, what hopefully a franchisor is investing time, money, research and development into that can really separate a franchise system from just a traditional mom and pop business. I'm curious if you had just, you know, I'll tell you my, so for me, I think with franchisees, in terms of things they need to be contemplating, you know, before they buy a franchise, there's a million things they need to be looking at. But oftentimes I'll get asked the question, you know, hey, Josh, what's the most important thing I need to look at before I buy this franchise? And obviously, you know, they need a legal review of the documents and all that. But aside from that, my number one for franchisees is you got to talk to other franchisees in that system. That's going to be your best way to get a true sense of what it's like working with a franchisor. I'm curious what you think about that, especially for newer franchise systems that don't have a lot of franchisees in them.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that's important. But one of the things that I think gets overlooked a lot is talking to the franchisors themselves, the founders, and really diving into what did their life look like as a franchise or as the business owner before they franchised. How many locations did they have? How big was their staff? What did their day look like? How many hours did they work? Because I find that many small business owners are acting as employees in their business. They have one location and then they decide to franchise. And it's at that point that they kind of turn that flagship location over to a staff for the first time. And they start rolling out systems and training.
And they have no idea what they're doing.
But they have no idea. And they certainly don't know how to manage more than one location. And they don't have any training or support for a franchisee to learn how to manage more than one location. And so if you ask all of those questions, you can kind of get a sense that, oh, wow, they had a successful location, but they didn't have the life that I want. So do I really want to learn from them how to get the life that I want?
Oh, it's so important. I mean, it's so important. You got to have, in my opinion, you got to have two or three locations up and going for at least a year, and then you can develop a system, because you have, you readily identify when you have multiple locations what your shortcomings are. It's really hard to do that if you just have one location, because you could be successful in spite of those. But it's hard for an owner-operator to be in two places at once. And so you can realize what the shortcomings are a lot easier with multiple locations.
Exactly.
Well, April, so you're sort of everywhere. I mean, people can find you at AskAprilPorter.com. They can find you on TikTok, LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook at Ask April Porter or The April Porter. And then, of course, your podcast, Infinite Franchisee, the Infinite Franchisee Show on Apple, and can be found at infinitefranchisee.com. What's the best place for somebody to go if they want to get even an even better sense of, you know, what you do and how you can possibly help them?
Yeah, if it's a franchisee, then definitely visit us at infinitefranchisee.com. And we have a bunch of free resources that you can use to help you succeed in your franchise. And then you can get in touch with us and we'll do a free business assessment for you as well. And if you're a franchisor, then you can visit me on AskAprilPorter.com, and I would love to come speak and train your franchisees at your next brand conference, or however I can be of most help to help you round out your franchise and help your franchisees succeed.
Well, thanks so much. Keep up the great work, and it was great chatting with you.
Thanks so much, Josh.
Thank you so much for tuning into another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed it, please head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review. It really helps to get this show out to more and more people. Also, if you have any questions, have ideas for guests or topics, please email me, Josh at IndyFranchiseLaw.com. That's Josh at IndyFranchiseLaw.com. And finally, please note that this podcast is for entertainment and educational purposes and is not in any way, shape, or form meant to be any kind of legal advice. If you're seeking legal advice, please contact a lawyer. Have a great one. Happy franchising.